promised us that he would be a counselor, a mighty God and a Prince of Peace. He promised us that he would be a father and would love us with a love that would not cease.
Well, I tried him and I found his promises are true. He's everything he said that he would be. The finest words I know could not begin to tell just how much Jesus really means to me. I stand amazed when I think the King of Glory should come to dwell within the heart of man. I marvel just to know he really loves me when I think of who he is and who I am. Jesus is to me. That's that's what Jesus is to me.
Amen. How many of you can identify with that phrase in the song that says, He's everything I long for, and so much more. Amen. Praise the Lord for Jesus. Amen. You have your Bible open to Deuteronomy 24, and I want to talk to you this morning about remembering. It's a hard thing to do. The older you get, the harder it gets, right? Remembering. The Bible says a lot about remembering. And these days in which we look back on, well, what happened at 9/11, and we think about those things, and we're constantly being told, remember, don't forget, remember. I noticed this Facebook was flooded with memes and with posts about remembering and never forgetting. And I thought how it's sad that we would even have to tell people to remember such an event. And yet we are having to be reminded over and over again about remembering things that are very pivotal and very important in our lives. And the reason for that being is, brethren, we're just forgetful people. We're people that living in a cursed world, and we need to constantly be put in mind by the Word of God things that we need to remember. I wrote down a few things that the Bible says that we're to remember in this week when we remember 9/11, when we remember our first responders, when we remember things that took place that day. I was reminded of the Bible saying, remember, remember, remember. Over and over again, the Word of God tells us, remember, remember. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What a reminder that it's a good thing to get in touch with heaven when you're young in life. And then the Bible teaches in Luke chapter 17, for the procrastinator, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. There are some people who will put off and put off and put off. Say, well, you know, I'll do it one day. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. We know what happened there as she turned and was turned into a pillar of stone. And then for that person that is searching in life, we think about the thief on the cross who said, remember me. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And what great words, none sweeter, that fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We're reminded in Hebrews 13, the church is reminded to remember them which have the rule over you and that speak the word of God to you. Remember them. And then we're reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, when Paul was writing of that first Lord's table, and he was repeating after the Lord Jesus, and he said, this do in remembrance of me. And we have a table here commemorating that with that portion of Scripture right on the front. It's really to our detriment that the Lord would have to say, now remember what I've done for you. Remember in the broken body and the shed blood. I need to be put in remembrance. How about you? Sometimes we forget the goodness of the Lord. There may be somebody sitting here today that you're like that man who lived his life sumptuously, as he fared sumptuously every day. He went on in life without regard to eternity. And in eternity, God pulled back the cover of hell. And he showed us a little bit in the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And Abraham spoke to that man and he said, son, remember that in thy lifetime thou receivest good things and Lazarus evil things. If you're just living life for the present, the Bible says, remember that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So remember. We're constantly being told to remember. I'm glad that God remembers. Man's not a very good rememberer, but God is. As a matter of fact, I took the liberty some time ago to look up the word remember, and I looked in the Strong's Concordance, and the first five times that the word remember is used, it's used with God remembering man. God does remember us. I'm glad that He remembers us, that our frames are but of the dust of the earth. Aren't you glad God remembers us? I'm thankful for that. You know, it's a sad commentary, though, when you find the first time that the word remember is used from man to man. Joseph was falsely accused and he was put in prison. And while he was there in prison, there was a butler and there was a baker, and they had dreams, and they went to Joseph and they said, "Tell us the interpretation of this dream." And he told them the interpretation. He told the chief butler, he said, "You're going to fare well." And he said, "When you get out of here, would you make mention of me to Pharaoh that I could get out of here?" And you know what Genesis 40, verse number 23 says? "Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." Men just don't remember. We're constantly having being told, "Remember, remember, remember." Why? We're forgetful people. Even things that are very important in life, we're very forgetful. Being forgetful can cause us to be ungrateful. It can cause us to forget that there's things that have priority in life. In the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second, or the second giving, it's the second giving of the law, the Ten Commandments, we're told here that we should remember. Notice, if you would, in verse number 18, "But thou shalt remember." Moses is telling the children of Israel, there's some things that you need to remember, right? You need to remember. There's some things in my life that I need to remember. There's some things in your life that we need to be put in remembrance of. And as I read this passage of Scripture and as I navigate through here, I see some things that God is through His servant Moses telling those people, listen, you're not going to fare well if there's some things in life you don't remember. As a matter of fact, through this book, and let's just do this just for a moment. If you go back to Deuteronomy just for a moment, to chapter number 5, and I'm going to ask you to turn to some Scripture this morning, so just turn to the Scripture and read them. So let's see what God says about this matter of remembering and not forgetting. It gets us in trouble when we don't remember things that are very important in life. When we forget what God has done in our life, if we're not careful, we'll go through life and we'll assume this thing in our life. Well, God owes me this. Life owes me this. God should have done that. And God should have done this and that, instead of being grateful for what God has done and being grateful for what God is doing and remembering that we don't deserve any of God's blessings. We need to remember. Look in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. Look at verse 15. "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." He said, don't forget now. Remember. Remember where God found you. That's the message here. Remember where God found you. Look over in chapter number 6, and we're told the flip side of that. In chapter 6, look if you would in verse number 12. "Then beware lest you forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." What's he saying? Remember. Don't forget now. Don't forget. Don't forget the life you were living. Don't forget where God found you. Remember. Remember. Don't forget now. Yeah, things are better now. You're in a different place now. God has gotten involved. But don't forget there was a day when you were in Egypt. Don't forget there was a day when you were under the lash of the taskmasters. Don't forget when you labored with rigor. Don't forget when you were on bare rationings. Don't forget when they killed your male children and they ransacked your homes. Don't forget now when it was hard and the way was not clear. Don't forget those days. That's what they're being told. Look over, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Look, if you would. Look at verse number 2. Over and again. I'm not going to go through too many of these, but I encourage you to. Just go through just the book of Deuteronomy in itself, over and over again. Remember. Remember. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. He said, remember now. God had a purpose in those things. Remember now, God wasn't just doing that to be doing something. God had a purpose to prove thee, to show you, to teach you. Chapter number 9, if you would look. And this will be the last one. We could go literally go on and on and on through the book of Deuteronomy. It just constantly says, remember, remember, remember. Don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Why? We're forgetful people. We're forgetful. God just continuously showers us with blessings. We live in the most blessed nation on the face of the earth. We have been blessed abundantly. You have been blessed abundantly. Many people that are sitting under the sound of my voice, whether it be in the sanctuary, whether it be by tuning in, by live stream, you've got more than you've ever had in your life. God has blessed you more than you've ever been blessed in your life. Even in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of an economic decline because of a pandemic, in the midst of all that's going on in this world, we are still a very blessed people. And yet God has to constantly and continually, through the preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Word, through the ministry of His Holy Spirit, to remind us, remember. Remember now, it hasn't always been this way. Remember now where I found you. Remember when you turned your back on me. Remember when you were not seeking me. Remember when your life was without me. Remember when your life was without purpose. Remember, don't forget, remember. Remember, yes, I'm with you now. Yes, you're blessed now. Yes, you have everything that you could ask for in life. But don't you forget, it hasn't always been that way. I've blessed you. I said I was only going to turn to one more, but there is a verse of Scripture that you must see. But look at this in chapter number 9, if you would. Chapter 9, look at verse number 7. Remember and forget not. Remember and forget not. And he says the same thing, how you provoked the Lord in the wilderness, and how that from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until you came into this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Now remember, God's been patient with you. It's what Moses is saying. Don't forget now. You haven't always just said, yay, Lord, and I'll follow, Lord. You haven't always done what God said do, but don't forget, God didn't give up on you. Remember, right? God didn't leave you to yourself in the wilderness, right? Remember. Remember. I said there was one last scripture, and I want you to turn there, if you would. It's in chapter 25, I think it is. It's the one that I wanted you to see. And if it's not, well, then we'll read this one in chapter 25. That wasn't the one, but go back to chapter 24. There's a verse of Scripture where the Lord says, remember. He says, now remember, all that you have is not because you did it. You don't have your wealth, and you don't have what you have in life, your health. You don't have what you have because you did it. He said, but remember, I gave it to you. Remember. That's why James said, when you're going to do something, when you're going to go someplace, don't just say, I will go here and I will do this. He said, if the Lord will, I will do thus and thus. So we get back to chapter number 24, and we see in verse number 18 where Moses is saying, there's three things that I want you to remember, and I want you to write them down. There's three things I want you to remember. He said, the first thing I want you to remember is your ruin. Now, as I look at this, in verse number 18, he said, but thou shalt remember that thou wast, and thank God for that past tense usage of a word, that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. What is he saying? He's saying, remember, there was a time when you was a slave. There was a time when you were a bondman. There was a time when you were under the heavy load and the rigor of labor and you were under all of these things of the enemy. He said, don't you forget that. Now, why is Moses telling the people, the children of Israel, this. You would think when you read, if you've read Exodus chapter 1 recently, you know that the scripture goes in detail to tell us of all that they faced, of all that the children of Israel faced in Egypt, how that they were turned on, and how that the king in Egypt, and how that the people in Egypt were set up as an authority over them and suppressed them and oppressed them and took everything away from them, even their very will to live. And they prayed and asked the God of heaven, God, get us out of this. God, deliver us from this. And God sent Moses to deliver. And you know the story of how that Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, God has sent me to tell you to let my people go. And how that there was plague sin, and eventually God delivered the children of Israel. And now here's a man saying, hey, don't forget now. Don't forget, remember. Remember that God got you out of Egypt. Why is Moses telling these people this? If you've read anything about the history, you know that this happened often. I wrote down some scripture. I hope you'll go back and look at it. I do. In Exodus 15 and Exodus 16 and Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 5, you know what the children of Israel repeatedly said? Would to God we had stayed in Egypt. See, they forgot. They forgot. They forgot what it was like to still be in Egypt. Has that ever happened to you? Has it? Has something gone wrong in your life and maybe God didn't come through for you in a certain way, the way you expected Him to, and you said, you know what? Sometimes I look back on my life before I got saved, and maybe it would have been just better if this would have happened or if this was going this way or that way. Sometimes I just don't understand, and we begin to complain and murmur and blame God. And here Moses is saying, hey, don't you let the enemy make you believe that your life was better back then. You're far better off in Canaan's land than you are in Egypt. He says, so remember. Remember. Don't forget now. That though you might remember the leeks and the melons and the onions, and though you may forget some of those things, don't forget that it came with a high price. As a matter of fact, I want to read to you. We'll just turn there to Numbers chapter number 11. I underline a word in my Bible that I'd like for you to underline if you would. Numbers chapter number 11, as we're remembering our ruin. Don't forget, we were under the sentence of death. We're under the curse of sin. And sometimes I think we forget that. Me and Brother Brian were talking this week, and we were talking about how that sometimes I think we Gentiles forget that, hey, we're just grafted in anyway. If we're not careful, we'll think, well, you know what? God owed America something. God didn't owe us anything. Still doesn't owe us anything. But I sure do thank God that He has shed His grace upon this great land. I sure do thank God that He's blessed us abundantly. Say, preacher, I came up poor. You're still blessed. I came up poor, preacher. Listen, you're probably richer than half the people in the third world countries even coming up poor. You see, we've got this idea that, well, God owes us something. God owes America something. God doesn't owe America anything. We are what we are by the good grace of God. Only because of God's goodness have we been blessed, not because of our goodness. In chapter number 11, if you would turn there, Numbers chapter 11, look at verse number 5. And I want you to notice the wording here, how the Holy Spirit was careful to put this word in there. The children of Israel said, we remember, yeah, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt. Look at that next word, freely, really, really, freely. You worked like slaves. You worked under taskmasters. They beat you. They killed your male children. They pillaged your homes. They abused your families. That's free. That's not free. Listen, if that's freedom, I don't want it. If you have to run to every beckoning call and labor under taskmasters and do what the government says every time they say do it and how they say do it and when they say do it, hey, that's not liberty. That's not freedom.
But they had been conditioned in their minds to believe that we're giving you this and we're allowing you a little freedom to exercise under our iron fist. Kind of sounds familiar, doesn't it? So that we'll give you a little trinket, we'll give you a little tax cut, we'll give you a little break, and we'll do it freely. We'll give you some of your money back freely. There's a good Greek word for that. Baloney. Baloney. They said in verse number 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now, you see, all we've got, we don't have the choices now. All we got is this manna. As we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, Moses said, remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Don't forget what condition you were in when God found you. Sometimes we forget, don't we? Lost in sin, on our way to hell. Children of disobedience, under the wrath of God. We forget. We forget. He said, remember. But not only are we to remember, as he said here, that you are a bondman. Don't just remember that, but remember that God came to you. Notice what he said in verse number 18. But thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. And that's not all he wants you to remember, though. He said, don't forget that. But don't forget this next part. Look at this. And the Lord thy God redeem thee thence. Amen. God bought you. God brought you out of there. You know anything about what it means to be set free? Set free. Here was a people that had been set free, and you know what they were longing for? To go back into bondage. Pastor Brandon, I think it was a couple of Sunday nights ago, he preached along those lines. How that we as Christians have been set free, and if we're not careful, we'll long to go back into bondage. And here he's saying, remember now. Remember. Remember ruin. Remember your life before Jesus. Remember your life before forgiveness, before cleansing, before a relationship with God. But he said, also remember thy Redeemer. You've been redeemed. I want you to notice a couple of words. I've underlined them in my Bible. The Lord. See that word Lord? It's all capital. All capital letters. That means Jehovah God. That means the covenant-keeping God. He said, someone has come to you and made a covenant with you, and he's not going to break his promise. God's not going to break his promise. We were talking about it in Sunday school today. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. Well, and that preacher, you don't know. I just haven't lived the way I should. Listen, we ought to live right, but I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Saved people go to heaven. Amen. 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 Saved people go to heaven. You saved? Well, and that preacher, we don't use that word. You don't. What's wrong with using a good Bible word like saved? I may have told you the story. I was talking to a man one time, and as I was witnessing to him about Christ, he said, well, now, you Baptists, he said, you use that word saved. He said, we don't use that word. I said, I don't understand why not. It's a Bible word. Amen. I'm saved, brethren. I'm saved. You ever get a hold of that? You're saved. Saved from what, preacher? Boy, the list is long. Amen. But I'm not just saved from something, I'm saved to something. Saved. 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 If we just get a hold of that, saved. I remember that when Paul and Silas was in that prison in Philippi, that man got under deep Holy Ghost conviction, that officer there, that keeper of the prison, and when he ran to Paul and Silas and fell before them, he didn't say, sirs, what must I do to get a little religion? Sirs, what must I do to be baptized? Sirs, what must I do to turn over a new leaf? He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Why? Because that's what it takes. Redeemed, saved. And they said, well, believe. on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Saved. Good Bible word. Jesus, Luke 19:10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man, Jesus said, hath come to seek and to save that which was lost. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now watch this, verse 17. We leave this one out a lot of times. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Saved, redeemed, delivered, set free. See, that's what it's about. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. Aren't you glad it's by grace? Amen. I was thinking this morning as I was sitting at my desk, I sure am glad, God, I sure am glad it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Because had it been, surely I'd have missed heaven. But you know what? Surely you would have too. There's not enough works in all of us put together that could get one man to heaven. But I thank God that we are saved by the grace of a good God in heaven. Saved, saved, saved. I pulled up a song here. One of my favorites. I remember the first time we sang this shortly after Sharon and I got saved. I thought, that's going to be my favorite song. I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how he lifted me and what his grace can do for you. Saved by his power divine. Saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet. And my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. What is Moses saying here? He's saying, listen, look at it. He said, don't you forget now, you're ruined. There was a time when you were on your way to hell like on a jet ski and proud of it. You thought you were somebody, just like me. But I'm glad that God interrupted that ride. Amen. I'm glad he came to me. I hear people saying all the time, I found God. You didn't find God. He found you. He found you. He came looking for you intentionally, on purpose. God came looking for me, and God came looking for you. Isn't that amazing? Well, that'll deflate you a little bit. If you walked in those doors this morning thinking you were somebody, let me tell you, you're not. How dare you, preacher? Well, I'm just telling you what the book says. The book says that the very best that we are is just those sinners under a curse, the sentence of death, on our way to hell. But thank God Jesus saw something in us that took him to the cross. And he died, and God redeemed us. He said, don't forget it now. Don't forget it. You've been redeemed. Remember. Remember. We've been going through the book of Hebrews, and the Bible says there's times you got to go on now. You have to learn and you have to grow. But don't ever forget where Jesus found you now. Don't ever forget that. It's good to learn the good doctrine of the Word of God, to get into the good teachings of the Word of God and expand your knowledge on doctrinal truth in the Word of God. But don't ever get away from where it all got started. Where were you when God saved you? Something should have come up in your mind immediately. If it didn't, I'd be concerned. Where were you when God saved you? I was in a run-down old single-wide trailer. Me and my brother back there lived in on 42 La Rosa Lane. And God reached down his hand and saved me by his amazing grace. Thank God. Listen, God can save you in an old trailer park. God can save you out of a mansion. God can save you off the street. God can save you out of a business. God can save anybody, anywhere, anytime. Amen. Why? Because he's a God of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. He's a God that redeems. And here the scripture says, don't forget it now. Remember. Let's close. Verse number 18. Thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in Egypt. Don't forget it now. Don't forget it. So I'm a preacher. I was born on a church pew. I've done good all my life. No, don't lie to yourself or to God. You're a sinner on your way to hell. Doesn't matter whether you was under the rigors of the taskmasters or whether you were in the home of a family in Egypt. You were still saved out of Egypt. I think sometimes people think, well, you know, I didn't do drugs and I didn't drink whiskey and I didn't carouse and run around. Well, you still needed to be saved. Sometimes good people need to be saved more than bad people. Say amen. Say, well, I'm good. It didn't take much of the grace of God to save me, just as much of the grace of God to save you as it did anyone else, my friend. Don't you misunderstand that now. Don't forget. Remember your ruin. Remember. Don't forget. Whether you're brought up in a Christian home or a drunkard's home, God's grace came to you in your ruin and redeemed you. And he said, not only remember your ruin, but he said, that thou wast, that the Lord thy God redeemed thee thence. He came right there. Thence. He came to you in Egypt. He didn't bring you out of Egypt and then save you. He saved you there. He brought you out under the blood of the Passover lamb. That's how you got out of Egypt. Sometimes people think, well, I'm going to straighten up, then I'm going to start coming to church. Well, that's not going to get you to heaven. Listen to me now. Doing better doesn't get you to heaven. You get saved and things will fall into place for God. Let's look what happens now. What's the final thing he says, remember? Do you see it there in verse number 19? Those two were easy to find. Remember your ruin. Remember where you were when God found you. You didn't deserve to be saved. I didn't deserve to be saved. But I sure am glad for the good grace of God that saved me. Then he said, remember that you've been redeemed. The Lord, thy God, that word means creator. The God that fuels a billion stars and a billion galaxies came to me and saved me. I don't understand that. I just don't. That God got personal with me. That's something. That's something. Sometimes we use the name of God like it's nothing. You know, God this, God this, God this. That God spoke the worlds into existence. That God that came to you the night you got saved or the day you got saved is the God that spoke everything that is into existence. Now you think about that for a moment. You go out tonight, if the stars are shining, you look up and you know that there's billions more just like it in other galaxies, and God put every one of them there. He fueled them, and they haven't gone out. That God got personal with you. That's something. But he said, now that you're saved, you have a responsibility. And that's the third word. Number one, remember your ruin. Remember your redemption. Your redeemer. And now, remember your responsibility. Now that we're saved, what? Do as we please, when we please? Oh, no. Notice what he said. Verse 19. Latter part of verse 18 says, therefore I command thee to do this thing. God said, since you're saved, therefore, I want you to remember, I saved you to give you responsibility. And in this passage of Scripture, he said, I want you to remember the poor. Look at it sometime. I want you to remember the strangers. I want you to remember the poor. I want you to remember the widows. I want you to remember the orphans. Read it. That's what it says. And then he closes in verse 22 and says, and thou shalt remember now that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command thee to do this thing. He said, don't shirk your responsibility. Remember, I came to you, and I brought you out, and I redeemed you. And now you have a responsibility. What's that responsibility? Love people. Read it. Share with people. He said, when you go to get your harvest, when you go to get your crop, he said, I want you to take care of some people. That's what he's saying. Read it. That's what these folks do. That's how God led me to this passage of Scripture. See, they're giving back. They're giving back. God's blessed them with an ability. They've studied. They've learned an ability to help, to fight a fire, or to help a person in need, or to carry out a law, or to carry on different things that God has blessed first responders, and they're giving back. This is what God is telling for you and for me. Give back. Don't just take in. Yes, you've been set free. Yes, you've been redeemed. Yes, you've come out of Egypt. Yes, you're entering into the land. Yes, God is with you. But now, don't just take that in and keep it. Share it. Share it. That's what he's saying. Share. Say, well, God sure has been good to me, preacher. Who are you sharing it with? Who are you sharing it with? Have you shared your testimony with anybody in the last 30 days? Can I encourage you to do that? That'd be a good start. Just tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. Just tell them, I want to share with you what God has done for me. You never know, that might touch their life. It may be a prompting for them to get right with God. We don't know. Maybe God's giving you something materially, and he wants you to share it with somebody. Share. We teach our little children from the earliest of ages. I guarantee you, this little boy right here, we got a nursery full of them. They're all over the building, upstairs over here in the annex building. Every parent teaches their children from early age to what? Share. Share. You want to teach your children to share? Let them see you sharing. Don't hoard. Share. That's what God said. He said, share. I've given to you, now you give to others. I've blessed you, now you be a blessing to others. That's our responsibility. You want a better world? You want a better community? You want a better church? Share. Share. Say, preacher, I don't have an ability to preach. Share. I don't have an ability to sing. Share. I don't have an ability to drive a bus. I don't have a CDL license. Share. We can all share. God told us something we could all do. Right? I sure do appreciate folks like this. I do. People who share, who give back. It's my desire as a pastor to do that. It's the desire of these people to do that. And if it's not your desire, I want to challenge you and encourage you. Give back. Share. The greatest thing you can share with someone is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Share. Sometimes we just need to be reminded, don't we, brethren? Meredith sings a song. She's not singing a whole lot these days. But she sings a song called Remind Me, Dear Lord. And I don't know about you, but there's just times in my life I need to be reminded. See, God's just brought me so far. I'm a long way from where God found me. Now, I'm not as far as I want to be. I'm not the person that I'm going to be, but I thank God I'm not the person I used to be. God's brought me a long way, brethren, a long way. I was visiting with a brother and sister Brown today. I hope they're watching. And I was sharing a little bit of my testimony with their son, Stuart, just trying to reach him. He's a good guy, and I like him. I've developed a friendship with him. And Miss Brown spoke up and said, you know, Pastor, I just can't imagine that about you. And I assured her, it's the grace of God. Anything good you see in me is the grace of God. Anything bad you see in me, well, that's all me. But anything good you see in me, that's all God. God sure has brought me a long way. I'm a long way from 42 La Rosa Lane. How about you? God brought you a long way. Remember now. Remember. Remember where you were and where you are and how you got there. So, oh, preacher, I've worked hard. Well, thank God for that, but God got you where you are. Let's bow our heads together. Remember.